Mom, Dad, we have something we'd like to tell you, my son said, producing a bottle of champagne from his backpack. Hold on, I'll get some glasses. I watched as he scurried across the living room to the glass cabinet, flinging it open and sliding four champagne flutes between his fingers. I glanced at my wife. Her face had turned a light shade of pink, and her nails were frantically picking at a scab on her wrist. She was staring at Lindsay, the corners of her mouth twitching ever so lightly. Lindsay smiled back, an amicable expression on her face. Breathe, I whispered to her, and watched as her shoulders tensed up. It's going to be okay. Lindsay was our son Benjamin's latest. The two were inseparable, and he insisted on bringing her along every time we invited him over for dinner. Benjamin was almost 35 years old, and while we had certainly expected to see him settle down eventually, I suppose we had hoped our son would end up with someone more like him, like us. Honey, what's the champagne for? My wife asked, her voice quivering. Did you finally get that promotion at work? Benjamin scoffed, setting the flutes down on the coffee table and shaking his head. Nah, they gave that to someone else. Fucking Alistair, of all people. Still, doesn't matter. Lindsay and I have far more exciting news. I could almost feel my wife's anxiety permeating from the room. From the corner of my eye, I could see blood trickling from the scab on her wrist and snatched her hand right away, gripping it firmly in mine. My son and Lindsay seemed oblivious to the interaction. So, Benjamin began, pouring out the champagne. Mother, father, Lindsay and I have been together for more than a year now. And my wife's nails dug into my palm. We love each other dearly and wish to spend every waking moment with one another. Droplets of sweat began forming on my upper lip. So, we have decided to tie the knot. My blood ran cold. My wife had gone pale, and I instantly knew she felt similar. I could tell by Benjamin's expression that he had expected applause and sequels of delight, but the room was silent, and after a few moments, his brow furrowed. What? He snapped. What are you looking at me like that for? Benjamin, I began playing for time. We understand that Lindsay is important to you, but we cannot in good conscience support this arrangement. What? He sounded bewildered. Why the hell not? Lindsay's the love of my life. I looked over at Lindsay, who was perched on the edge of the couch, legs crossed. She was wearing a black strapless dress that barely covered the upper body and draped loosely over her waist and legs. Her expression remained unhinged. Ben, we think it's best if you see a professional, my wife interjected. You're such a handsome young man. There are plenty of women out there for you. There was a sharp whistling sound as Benjamin drew breath, and I felt my wife shrinking beside me. Lindsay is the perfect woman for me. Look at her, for God's sake. Show me a girl more perfect than her. She has perfect skin, perfect hair, and a body to die for. Plus, he exhaled, wiping the sweat away from his forehead, I have to marry her. We're having a baby. My wife and I stared at him, dumbfounded. My brain seemed to be at loss for how to react. Sweat was pooling under my arms, and a slow chill was creeping up my spine. I wondered if our son had finally lost it. I wondered if this was one of those times where it was acceptable to wrestle a person to the ground and call the police. A baby, my wife whispered, a hand over her mouth. But how? I knew I had to intervene. I got to my feet and placed my hands on Benjamin's shoulders. Son, Lindsay is not a real person. She is a sex doll. She cannot get pregnant or bear children. You must understand that. Now, sit down right here. Let's make a cup of tea so we can all calm down and talk about this. With that, I brushed past him and headed for the kitchen. But Benjamin's next words stopped me in my tracks. You're wrong, Dad, he said, his tone ominous. Lindsay is pregnant. He walked around the couch and propped her up by her arms. And if she isn't, how do you explain this? Benjamin pulled up Lindsay's flowy dress, exposing her lower body, clad in nothing but a pair of lace panties. I recoiled at the sight, but there was something else. A deformed bump in her stomach, far too large for her small frame. It extended towards her chest, bulging awkwardly in various places, as though it had been stuffed. My wife jumped up from the couch and shrieked, while I stood and stared at our son's exhibition, my skin prickling. What is that? It's our baby. Benjamin rolled his eyes defiantly. Are you blind or something? Benjamin, I said, shaking my head in disbelief. A sex doll cannot reproduce. It cannot give you a baby. Please, you're scaring your mother. Benjamin looked like he was about to go on another one of his angry rants, but his mother's expression seemed to ground him. He slumped down on the couch and buried his face in his hands. All right, he said sorrowfully. All right. When we found out that Lindsay couldn't get pregnant, we knew we had to look for other solutions. So we adopted. I stared at him. You adopted? But where's the child? Benjamin shot me a mournful look. Lindsay insisted on carrying the pregnancy to term. Gifts have never been my boyfriend's strong suit. We've been together for 4 years now, and each time my birthday rolls around, I have to spend copious amounts of time hinting at items I would like to have. Last year, for example, I kept showing him pictures of a particular necklace and even sent him an email link, twice. Yet, despite my best efforts, he never caught on. So what does he get me then, you might ask? Well, nothing. I've never received a gift from my boyfriend. Not for my birthday, not for Christmas, and not even our anniversary. My friends have asked me why I'm still with him, and truth is, I feel like breaking up over a gift, or lack thereof, would be a rather petty thing to do. I mean, is it really that important for an otherwise healthy relationship? Some might say it is. I mean, I do feel disappointed, of course, but I've grown used to it. I already know that for my next birthday, and the birthday after that, my boyfriend will pat me on the back, wish me a good day at work, and go back to watching TV. I must have been particularly shocked when he didn't get me anything during our first year together, so I asked him about it. I thought that maybe he'd forgotten, but I couldn't understand how, considering I kept reminding him about it throughout the month. Well, you know what he said? Oh, I'm sorry, Pumpkin. Aren't I enough? And that pretty much sums it up. Every year, it's always been the same. I mean, it's not like I expect him to buy me expensive perfumes or a car, but a cake or a bar of chocolate would be nice. Maybe I'm overreacting. 4 years is no small feat, after all. And what's a single day in the grand scheme of things? However, I am becoming increasingly tense and irritable in the days leading up to my birthday. My boyfriend noticed this year when he discovered me crying in the bathroom. "What's wrong, Katie?" he asked, pulling me into a hug. I sobbed, not knowing how to bring the subject up again. I mean, at this stage, what was even the point? It wasn't like things were going to change. "I need a new coat," I sniveled. "There's this one I really want." He stared at me, wide-eyed, as I showed him a picture on my phone. "Well, why are you crying? Go out and get it." See, this is exactly the issue. My boyfriend doesn't believe in gifts. "I can't, Michael," I sobbed. "Why not?" He looked astounded. "Don't you have money?" How could you be so clueless? Overcome with a sudden pang of anger, I blurted out something I immediately regretted. "Either you get me a birthday gift this year," I took a deep breath, "or we're over." He looked shell-shocked. To be fair, I was too. "I'm sorry," I began, but he scrambled to his feet and left the room. For the next couple of days, we barely spoke to one another. He stayed in the living room, and I mostly kept to myself in the bedroom. I tried apologizing several times, but he only grumbled under his breath. Something about me only wanting him for his money. We both knew that wasn't true, though. He wasn't even working at the time, so I was the one giving him an allowance. I had to go to work on my birthday. Most people would shudder at the thought, but I didn't mind. See, it was the one place I knew I'd be appreciated and acknowledged with at least a small gift. My colleagues went all out this year, getting me a large cake and a gift card for my favorite boutique. I would have been ecstatic if it hadn't been for the nagging thought of returning home to nothing. However, when I let myself in through the front door that evening, I was immediately left with a vase of roses surrounded by glowing candles. A note sat on top of the flower bouquet. "You've discovered your first clue. You decide on what to do. Take the plunge. The price was steep. Check the place on which you sleep." I stared at it, dumbfounded. Had he actually bought me a gift? I dashed to the bedroom, looking around wildly for the next piece of paper. I found it sitting on top of my pillow. "You have found the second hint. Have you read the finer print? You will get there. Keep the faith. Check the place in which you bathe." What? The finer print? I giggled at the questionable rhyming. Still, this was a great improvement from the previous years. I didn't have to search long when I entered the bathroom. The note was in plain sight, stuck to the surface of the mirror. "You have found the final clue. Please leave us a good review. We've been paid a fine deposit. Go ahead and check your closet." Wait, us? Had he hired a company to do this? I yanked the closet doors open. Inside hung the most beautiful rose-colored coat I'd ever seen. I grabbed it, pulling it off its hanger in excitement and throwing it on. It was perfect. The shade complemented my complexion, and the suede material felt soft on my skin. "Michael!" I called out, expecting him to emerge from the kitchen. "I found it!" But aside from the soft crackle of the candles, the apartment was silent. I picked up my phone from the floor where I'd left it and turned it on. One new notification. I jabbed at the screen. It was a message from Michael. "Your order number 63820 has been completed. The details are below for reference. 8 times red roses, classic, $30. 6 scented candles, vanilla, 22. 3 custom scavenger hunt clues, birthday, 50 USD. 1 pink suede coat, Michael, 0 USD. Please check coat pocket for complimentary gift. I gaped at it. My lovely new coat had been free. And what was this about a complimentary gift? A new wave of excitement washed over me. Was there something else? Had he bought me the watch I'd asked for my last birthday? I snuck my hand into the left pocket of my coat. There was something inside. It was circular and squishy. At once, I retracted my hand and snapped the overhead lights on to get a better look. Whatever it was, it hadn't left any residue on my fingers. I swallowed and pried the pocket open at the sides to try to see inside. I wish I hadn't. At first, I didn't even understand what it was. It was so red and bloody, I couldn't even see it properly. I took the coat off and dumped it onto the floor, shaking the pockets upside down. The contents rolled out, nestling into a crease in the suede. I nearly retched at the sight. There was no mistaking it. They were eyeballs. I screamed, then I retched. Then, my phone pinged. I grabbed at it, my heart pounding out of my chest. Another text from Michael. Thank you for shopping with us. What? What was he playing at? With shaking hands, I pressed the call button and held my phone up to my ear, ready to give my boyfriend a piece of my mind. Hello? A young woman's voice chimed on the other end. I felt like I had been punched in the gut. Where's Michael? I blurted out. Was he cheating on me on my birthday? There was silence on the other end. Could you let me know your order number? The woman's tone was sickly sweet. It took me a moment to understand what she wanted. I had no idea whether the whole ordeal was some elaborate prank I wasn't in on, but I certainly wasn't going to stoop down to their level. Pass the phone to Michael right now, I growled. Ma'am, I'm afraid I can't do that. Please let me know your order number and I'll see how I can help. There was no way around it. 63820, I read aloud. I heard the clacking at her keyboard. Right, she said after a pause. I can confirm that your new coat is indeed 100% Michael. Is there anything else I can help you with? What? What are you talking about? Where's Michael? She cleared her throat. Ma'am, Michael came into our shop this morning looking for a very particular coat. He showed us a picture, and we told him we didn't carry it, and that it had to be custom made. When he gave him the price estimate, he told us he'd get the material himself. That's all I can tell you. As she spoke, my heart traveled from my chest to my throat. Where did he get the material? She sighed. I'm not at liberty to say, but everything was done at his request. Is there anything else I can help you with, ma'am? I ended the call and dropped my phone onto my new coat, staring at the mess on the floor. My eyes were brimming with tears. I couldn't understand what happened. Was I supposed to call the police? My phone pinged. I picked it up and stared at the screen. It was from Michael. He sent a video.